Morning. Thank you all for coming. May our learning be a schus lili nishmas. Chaya meira nachama bracha lea shalom basta v'mordechai sheyichya. And for Shimon ben Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is today. Today's daf is daf kuf yud of Maseches Chulin. And let's start on kuf tes amud beis, again with this fascinating conversation between Yalta and her husband, Rav Nachman. So we're going to start on page 109b, I guess about 10 lines before the end of the Amud. Amra la Yalta li Rav Nachman. Yalta said to her husband, Rav Nachman, Mechti, let's take a look. Kol da'asar lan rachmana, whatever Hashem prohibits to us, sharalan kavaseh, he also allows us something similar. So all the, you get all the, whatever you want you can do. You know, they're just, certain limitations, but you can basically get whatever you're looking for. So, for example, Asar Lan Dama, Hashem told us we're not allowed to eat blood, we're not allowed to ingest blood, but Shar Lan Kveda, Hashem allows us to have a liver. Liver is all blood. So, if Hashem allows you to eat roasted liver, you'll have the taste of blood. Nida, Hashem says a man, a husband is not allowed to sleep with his wife when she's bleeding. Every month a woman bleeds. That's the blood of Nida. But there is blood that he's allowed to sleep with his wife, even when she's bleeding that. Dam tohar, after a woman gives birth. So for a week for a boy and 2 weeks for a girl, she's tamei. But then after that, 33 days for the boy and 66 days for the girl, whatever blood comes out, she stays tohar with it. Dam tohar. So then's a man, he's sleeping with his wife, even though she's bleeding. Chelev behema. Hashem said a man's not allowed to eat, a woman's not allowed to eat the fat, let's say the fat of the kidneys or the fat of the liver, of domesticated animals like shor o chesev, an ox or a sheep. But yet, chelev chaya, Hashem permits the same fats in a wild animal, in a deer, in a gazelle. So if you want the taste of that fat, get it from the chaya. Chazir, Hashem said you can't have pork, but yet, mocha de shibuta, Hashem did permit people to have the brain of the shibuta fish, even though the shibuta fish, the brain of the shibuta fish tastes like pork. Girusa, Hashem did not allow this fish called the girusa, and yet he allowed lishna de kavra, the tongue of the kavra fish, which also tastes like the girusa. Eishas ish, Hashem doesn't allow a man to sleep with a woman who's married to somebody else, but he allowed grusha b'chaye bala. He allows a man to sleep with a woman who's divorced, even though her husband is still alive. So it's sort of like the taste of a married woman. Eishas ach, Hashem did not allow a man to sleep with the wife of his brother. And yet, Hashem does allow a man to sleep with the wife of his brother if his brother died, heaven forbid, with no children. And she is a yevama. Kutis, Hashem didn't allow a Jew to sleep with a non-Jewish woman. But he did allow it if it's a yefas tohar, if it's in the context of war, and the soldier can't control himself, and he sees a non-Jewish woman, he's allowed to have the one act of intercourse with the non-Jewish woman. So, well, even though it's not allowed, but there's a way where the taste is allowed. So she then said, Yalta, ba'inan le'mechal bisra v'chalba. I want to eat milk and meat. So where is there a permitted way of milk and meat? Amar Rav Nachman l'tapche. So Rav Nachman said to the chefs, Zviku la kachli. So fine, roast for me some udder. So take udder, put it on a spit, and roast it over an open flame. So the milk that's still in the udder is gonna melt into the meat. You'll have a taste of milk and meat. Ask the Gemara, how could he do that? Va'anan t'nan, we did our Mishnah. Kor'o, you have to tear the udder open and spill out these little pockets of milk that are inside. And if you didn't, it would be prohibited. So answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman will tell you, Hahu l'kdeira. No, you have to cut it open and spill out the milk, otherwise it's prohibited if you're cooking it in a pot. But if you're roasting it on a spit, then it's going to be permitted. Vay Katani asks the Gemara, but the Mishnah says, Shebishlo, if it was cooked, the Evidin Lachatchila lo, but you can't, as a first choice, do that. And here he's doing it as a first choice. So the Gemara says, no. Hu adin dafilu lachatchila. Really, in the Braisa, you could even choose to cook it. Lachatchila. I didn't come by the Misni safe, but in the end of the Brisa is going to say. Now, Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, today's daf. Keva Shebishla Bechelba. A stomach which is cooked with its fat, with its milk inside of the stomach. Asura, that's prohibited. You can't eat it. Dafilu Dieved, even if it was cooked, you can't eat it because that's real milk, because that's not milk of a dead animal. That's milk that was ingested. So the Avilu Dieved Namilo, even once it was done, you can't eat it. Tana Nami Resha Shabishla. That's what the beginning of the Braisa also said. An udder that was cooked, but really, even lechatchila, you could just choose to cook the udder. Right. Yeah,
is there
please.
A source for Yalta's statement? There's no. She doesn't give a. You know.
Yeah.
You just accept that as a rule that for every
prohibited taste,
there's something that goes the other way, or is that just something that she?
I think it was her observation.
I see.
I think it was her observation, you know, and I guess philosophically there's a very powerful point that she's making, which is God, it's not that God is trying to withhold anything from us. All the pleasures in the world are available, but under certain rules, certain ways of doing them. So, you know, a guy who's a fighter and a violent guy, there's a way to do that too. Fight Melchemes Mitzvah, fight the seven nations, liberate Eretz Yisrael, fight the enemies who attack. Everything has its context. In a certain context, it's okay. In other contexts, not. So I think it's a very powerful statement of the way Hashem has made the world. Okay, another story. Kisalik Rebbe Lazar, when Rebbe Lazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, so he went from Bavel, from Persia, up to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechei leZeiri, he met Zeiri. Amar lei, so he said to him, Ika tana disnaye leRav Chal. I'm here in Eretz Yisrael now. Where's the Tana who taught Rav these lessons about the udder? Who's the person who taught Rav the Braisa that would make Rav issue the ruling? Remember, there were two versions of Rav yesterday, but who's the Tana who taught Rav a Braisa that would make Rav issue the ruling that if you cooked chal without tearing open the skin and emptying out the milk, that the chal is prohibited, that it's asur b'dieved? So, Achvaye, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini. So he pointed to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini. So then Rebbe Lazar went over to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini, and he asked him, you're the one who taught Rav this law of chal, that a chal that's cooked, b'dieved, it's prohibited, at least midrabanan, because even though it's not really a milk, but it's treated like a milk, similar to a milk. Amar Lehi said to him, no, ani lo shanisi lo chal kol ikar. I'm an expert in brisos, so I never taught a brisa to Rav that chal, after it's cooked, is prohibited. Not at all. Rav bika matza v'gadar b'gadar. Rav made up the law on his own. He saw there was a breach. So since there was a breach, he put up a fence to stop the breach. What was the breach? The Rav ikla l'tatlafush. Rav came to this place, tatlafush. Shamala, he itisa, he overheard a woman. Tekama l'chavirta, she's telling her friend, Riva de Bistra, if I have a quarter of a log of meat, how much milk do I need to cook it? So she's saying, how much milk do I need for this amount of meat? She said, oh my God. Amai said, look, Miri, they don't even know. They don't have a tradition. They haven't learned the basar b'chal of asur. They now that I have milk and meat. So the Torah repeats this prohibition three times. Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And they don't even know that? So what's going on? They're making a mistake because she must have been a guest somewhere and they served her food that tasted like milk and meat because they served her some chal, they served her some udder. And she therefore thinks she can go cook her meat with milk. So I need to make a rule, no udders. Midrabanan, you can't do it. So he akiv, so he stayed there because asar lehu chali, and he prohibited to them udders because that's why you had this Lashon of Rav, that Rav said, you're supposed to open it up and take the milk out, But if you didn't, said the Mishnah, ain't no over alav, you don't have a violation. But Rav says in the second version, there's no violation, but there is a prohibition. It is wrong. Where is it wrong? Is it from a Braisa? No, it's not from a Braisa. It's from a story. Rav saw that people were not being careful with milk and meat, so therefore Rav said, we have to prohibit udders to remind people to stay away from milk and meat. I remember when I was a kid growing up, so we had a neighbor who was a Jew from Morocco, and so, you know, Pesach, everybody talks about kitnios and not kitnios, so he said that where he was from in Casablanca, the rabbis had prohibited rice. Because of a similar story, that there was a woman once who was asking her neighbor how to make the couscous. So the neighbor goes, how do you make couscous? What do you mean? It's Pesach. She said, no, I had couscous at your house. Said, no, but the couscous that you had at my house was from rice. This is from flour. So they said, okay, people are getting confused. So no rice. That's what he said, at least in Casablanca. What was it in Tangiers, Gabriel?
Not rice.
No rice.
Rice.
Persians have rice.
Are you kidding? Food without rice?
I'm converting.
No,
Pesach is rice.
No, that way, the dish that they have to cut the udders and you know, get the milk out,
okay.
Right? And wash it off and cook it. Now that pot that you wash it off, is it a meat pot now, or is it milk pot, or
meat.
You have to take it to mikveh now after you wash the others?
It's cold, everything, nothing gets impacted by cold.
It's not milk anyway.
Only heat can absorb a taste. So everything.
So still, you could wash meat in that pot there.
Yeah, everything.
After that,
all fine. All right, another version. Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. This was the version of Rav Kahana. What we said that. Namely, when Rabbi Elazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, he asked around what was Rav's source, what was the Braisa, and they said, no, it wasn't a source, it was a Zeir because of a story. Rabbi Yossi bar Abba Masni, Rabbi Yossi bar Abba, though, had a different version. That what they said, what Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi said to Rabbi Elazar was, listen, you're asking, what was the source of Rav? Anak chal shel meinika shanisi lo. I didn't tell him that. I told him that the udder of a cow that's nursing is prohibited. Because a cow that's nursing has a huge amount of milk in its udder. Because it's nursing. So I said the udder of a nursing cow, that if it gets cooked, is prohibited. But Rav, he not from a braisa, mi pilpulo shel Reb Chiya, shana lechal stam. But Rav, based on analysis of what Rabbi Chiya said, he was very sharp, so that's why he ended up saying all udders. In other words, Rabbi Chiya, he thought his students were very sharp, so he didn't feel a need to explain himself. So he said, a chal that's cooked is prohibited. Now really what Rabbi Chiya meant was a chal of a nursing mother that's cooked is prohibited. Because a nursing mother chal, the udders of a cow that's nursing, has a lot of milk in it. But Rav didn't know that. And Rav, I guess maybe didn't apply himself, didn't ask. He just listened. So therefore Rav walked down and said, oh, he said chal is prohibited. So Rav said, you're not allowed to eat udder that was cooked. But really, it's not really the braisa. The original law was the chal of a nursing mother. You can't eat if it's cooked. And Rav went and basically misunderstanding Reb Chiya, extended it to all chals. You can't eat if they're cooked. All right, so now we talk some more about, you know, what is the practical practice. What is the practice in regards to cooked udders? Says the Gemara, Ravin and Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Ravin and Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, iklu lebei Rav Papi. They came as guests to the house of Rav Papi. Aisu lekamayu tavshila dekhal. They brought before them a cooked dish that had inside of it udder. So there was udder and I guess carrots and potato and gravy. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef achal. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef ate it. Ravin lo achal. Ravin wouldn't eat it. Amr Abaye. Abaye said, Ravin tchala. Ravin, you the widower. I mean, not you lost your children during your lifetime. Right, you who lost your children during your lifetime. Amai lo acha, why aren't you eating the dish? Mechti, let's take a look. Debisu de Rav Papa, the wife of Rav Papi, is bratid Rav Yitzchak Nafcha avai. She's the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. And Rav Yitzchak Nafcha married to Uvdahava. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha is extremely careful about everything that he does. So Yilav de Shmiel emi bein Ashav, she wouldn't have heard from her father, from Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, that you can make a dish of udder. Lo ava avda, she wouldn't have made it. So if she made it, it must be kosher. So therefore, you should be eating it. Okay. All right, so now again, practical law. What's that?
It means just he didn't like it.
That's why he didn't eat it. I guess they assumed, this is the lesson I would take away from that question. If you have a chance to make a host feel good, even if you wouldn't like it, you would like it. So he's a guest of Rav Papi, he would have eaten it if he could. If he didn't eat it, must be it wasn't kosher.
Why is it you lost kids while you're
still? So I think I see here in the footnotes, they're saying that he had lost kids during his lifetime, and they used to say this to I guess so. That's what it sounds like, you know. It's or for them to feel bad about it. Maybe that they should feel bad about it. That they would feel bad. Maybe to give sympathy of some sort. Yeah.
This is an interesting proof, though, about trusting women in terms of keeping kosher.
Yeah.
That, you know, because it's a big issue about, you know, whether or not they're allowed to be mashkichot, whether, you know.
I don't think it's much of an issue anymore.
No, I'm saying, but this is a good proof for that issue.
Sure.
That a woman is.
Yeah,
is
absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody's trusting their wives, I assume. Okay. All right, again, going back to the practical law, what is the practice about eating udders? The surah lo achli khali. In surah, they wouldn't eat udder. Even if it was roasted, and even if it was torn, you know, like a cross, and all the milk squeezed out on a wall, they wouldn't eat udders. But pumpadisa achli khali. In pumpadisa, like we learned in our Mishnah, if you tear it open and then you squeeze out the milk, they would eat it. Rami bar Tamri, to who he's also called Rami bar Tikuli. So Rami the son of the dates, or Rami the son of the date trees. From Pumpadisa, Ikla Lusura, he once came to Sura, where they would not eat udders, on Mala Yom de Kippuri, on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, as we've seen before, Erev Yom Kippur is a time when everybody eats meat. So everybody's slaughtering on Erev Yom Kippur. We saw this about Basa Shanelim and Ayin, that if you find meat on Erev Yom Kippur, even if the ravens brought it, you could assume that it's kosher, because all the Jews are slaughtering meat. So in Surah, they didn't eat udders. In Pumbedisa, they did eat udders. And Rami Bar Tamri, he was from Pumbedisa. So when he gets to Surah, Afkinu Kuliyam L'Kalinu Shadinu, all the people took their udders and threw them out. Azaliu Naktinu, see, he went and he gathered them all up. And Achlinu, and he ate it all. So he had a lot of good meat. So they were all upset, scandalized. A man's eating udders. In our town, we don't eat udders. So I saw the comedy of Chizda. They schlepped him in front of Rav Chizda. They brought him down to Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda should give him a tongue lashing. Amar leis, Rav Chizda said to Rami Bar Tamri, Amai tevid achi, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you eating udders? Amar leis, he said back to me, Asim Rav Yudana, but I'm from Pumbedisa. I'm from the town of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda allows udders. So achil, he eats it. Amar leis, he said, so what, that you're from the town of Pumbedisa, but now you're here. Now you're in Surah. Says that... That a person gets the stringencies of the place he left, as well as the stringencies of the place that he came to. This is the Mishnah in Pesachim. There are some places have a custom not to work on Erev Pesach. Other places have a custom to work on Erev Pesach. So if you came from a place where they don't work to a place where they do work, you can't work. And if you came from a place where they work to a place where they don't work, you also don't work, because you have to follow both the chumrah, the stringency of the place you came to, and the stringency of the place you came from. So you came to Surah. Here, we don't eat chal. What are you doing eating chal? Amar le, he said, listen, I didn't eat it in Surah. I walked out. Chutz l'tchum achaltinu. I took all these chali. I went, 2,000 amos out of the city. I was a kilometer out into the forest, and that's where I ate it. So then Rav Chisda asked him, well, if you're away from the city, how do you have heat to cook it? Uvumet fitinu. How did you heat it? Where was your tinder wood? Where was your ovens? I'm a leva portzini. I used these outside of the tchum there was grape wine presses. So I found, old seeds and rinds of grapes and sticks of the clusters, and that's what I used. So then Rav Chisda says to him, "V'dumim yain esachavya." Well, if you're using grape stuff, maybe the grape was used by Goyim for their idolatrous wine, and maybe you're using something which is aser ba'anah, something you're not allowed to get benefit from. These things hadn't been touched in 12 months. And after 12 months, if it's so dry, it becomes permitted. Maybe you're stealing. Maybe it belonged to somebody. I'm sure that whatever owner had it had already given up on it. How do I know? Because they already had all sorts of grasses growing on them. So anyone who would want it would never have let stuff, get moss and grass and weeds. So clearly they gave up on it, so I'm allowed to take it. Chazya, Sir Rav Chisda, then saw that this Rami Bar Tamri, or Rami Bar Dikla, whatever you call him, he wasn't wearing tefillin. So Amalei said to me, you seem to have an answer for everything. My time alone, manach tefillin. Why aren't you putting on tefillin? Amalei said, choli me'ainhu. I have a lot of intestinal issues. I have to run to the bathroom. I have, I eat. I have diarrhea. I have the runs. So I can't wear tefillin because it's not right. I have to keep taking off the tefillin. All those udders, maybe. Rav Yehuda says, choli me'ayin, patur minat tefillin. Someone who's going to be running all the time to the bathroom and taking off the tefillin all the time doesn't have to put it on in the first place. Chazir, then he saw the lava karami chut. He said, you're not even wearing tzitzis. Why didn't you put strings on your garment? Amalei said to him, Rav Chisda said to him, my time alas lachuti. Why don't you have strings on your tzitzis? Amalei said, he had an answer for that too. He said, Talashuli, it's not my garment. I borrowed it. Rav Yehuda taught Talashula. Now turning to Kufyut Amid Beis, borrowed talis, kol shloshim yom, turim minat tzitzis. For the first 30 days that it's borrowed, you don't need to put on tzitzis. So Adahachi, so as they're going back and forth with this conversation, another story comes in front of Rav Chisda. Isu alahu gavra, they brought in a person. Delo avamokir avu avime. He wasn't honoring his father and mother, so he's not doing a mitzvah saseh of kabedes avicha vesimecha. And even though for a law, for a prohibition, you get 39 lashes, so for a mitzvah saseh, Bezdin can beat a person till no end, till he does the mitzvah saseh. So they brought in this guy, he wasn't doing a mitzvah saseh. So kaftua, they tied him onto the pole where they were going to start to beat him up. Amluhu, so then Rami Bar Tamri said to them, hey, shafku, leave him be. You shouldn't be beating up someone for not doing the mitzvah saseh, the positive mitzvah of honoring parents. The Tanakh, because we learned in a braisa. Any positive mitzvah where the reward for that mitzvah is explicit in the verse. So then, ain bezdin shalamat muzarnale. Then the bezdin down below is not told to go beat up someone to fulfill it. So this mitzvah, the reward is given. Hashem said, "Leman yarichun yamecha," so you'll have a long life. Amalei, so he said to him, "Chazin alach, I see you, Rami Bar Tamri, the Harifa Tuva. You're really smart. You have answers for everything." Yeah. Amarlei, so Rami Bar Tamri said, "You have this Basid Rav Yehuda. If you would be in the town of Rav Yehuda in Pumpadisa, Achvina la Charfai, then I would show you how smart I am. Then I'd be really sharp. Then I would Then I'd be able to really show off how smart I am. Okay, here I'm not with my rebbes. I'm not so smart. But there I would really show you how smart I am. If you'd come to Pumbedisa to see. So I see here in the footnote, I didn't see this before, that the Chasam Sofer asks, this doesn't seem like a very modest thing to do, to say, listen, if you come with me to the town of Pumbedisa with my Rebbe, you'll see me really smart. And he said, also, what's Rav Chisda saying? I see you're really smart. What, is he jealous? So he said that... Rav Chisda said, I see that you're so smart, it seems that you've left your Rebbe. Because you only really reach your wisdom once you go off on your own, when you're independent. When you're still with your Rebbe, you don't have it yet. So he said, you're so smart, you must have left your Rebbe, therefore you're planning to stay here. So if you're planning to stay here, then already you're residents of here. If you're a resident of here, you shouldn't be eating the udders. So Rami Bar Tami said, no. As smart as I am, if you come to be with my Rebbe, you'll see that I'm much smarter there. So you see that I haven't yet reached the full extent of my wisdom. That means I'm not staying here. I'm going back there. And that's why, since I'm going back there, I can leave the boundaries of the city and eat udders. Maybe. It could be.
How did Rav Chisda not know the rule that you're not allowed to give malachos to someone when the
malchus
to someone when they have a when the positive mitzvah is? It's a strange thing that the head of the Beit Din wouldn't understand.
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's true. That's a good question. I don't know. All right, Amar le Abaye le Rav Safra. Abaye told Rav Safra, Kisalkas lahasam, when you go up to the land of Israel, boy, I mean, now you ask the sages of Israel, Kav the mountain, babe, what do you do with liver? What do you do with liver? Can you cook liver in a pot or not? In other words, because liver, you have an issue of blood. So liver, as we're going to see, lahalacha, we only cook liver on an open flame. We don't cook it in a pot, because in a pot, we say the blood will go out and the blood will go back in. But he asked him already. He asked him, what's the law with rivers? So Kisalik, when Rav Safra went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rav Zrika, he met Rav Zrika. Amar leis, Rav Zrika said to him, Ana shalki l'Rabami v'achil, I cooked liver in a pot and I gave it to Rabami and he ate. Kiyasa l'gabe, when Rav Safra then went to Abaye and he told him, Amar leis, Abaye said back to him, L'meisar navshe lokami b'ayli. I didn't have a question about the liver itself. The liver itself is okay, because the liver has a lot of blood. When the blood goes out, it's not going to come back in. Because ID detridi liflot, since it's so busy getting the blood out, so it's too preoccupied to be bolea, to absorb. Kikami Bailey, my question was about liver is lemesa chavirta. What about liver prohibiting another piece of meat? You put the liver in the pot with another piece of meat, does the other piece of meat become prohibited? So if Safra said to Abaye, I don't see what the question is. You knew that the liver itself doesn't become prohibited. It's not because the Mishnah says in Chumos, HaKavod Eino Ne'aseres. Liver that's cooked doesn't become prohibited because the blood that goes out of the liver can't go back in because the liver is too busy pushing blood out to take blood in. But if you know that Mishnah, you shouldn't have a question about prohibiting its friend. Because it's not that same Mishnah says, HaKavod Oseres, the liver prohibits its friend, the other piece of meat. It doesn't become prohibited. Because it pushes blood out. It doesn't absorb any blood. Amar lei, Sabaye said, no, Dilma Hasam Mekvedet Yisur. Maybe that Mishnah in Terumos is not talking about a regular liver and based on blood. But that's talking about a liver from a non-kosher animal, umishum shamnunisa. And the issues there are because of the fat of the liver. And the fat goes out and prohibits the other pieces of meat. But my question is this, if you cook liver of a kosher animal, so now all you have is blood, does the blood that come out of a liver, does that get absorbed by other pieces of meat to prohibit the other pieces of meat that are cooked with the liver? Okay, so Bezat Hashem, we'll continue some more about that tomorrow. That's la halacha. This is as we're forming the laws. Okay, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Meir, Tzav Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael, Lefichach Yirbar Lehem Torah Mitzvot Shenehem, Adonai Chafetz Leman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.